Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For the 7 o'clock hour, as we're going to have Butch Davis, FIU head football coach, join us. He's got the University of Miami Saturday at Hard Rock Stadium. I think it's going to be a – Dave Hyde's with us from the Sun. Dave, I think we got a big crowd for this game. I think a lot of people, just to see what it looks like, and I think tailgating's going to be crazy because FIU, UM fans are – all the same people are together every day anyway.
It'll be a fun day, I think. You know, the cross-pollination of the two schools, it's a healthy one, isn't it? The FIU, as you mentioned, grew up as Canes fans, a lot of them, and a lot of them are Canes fans. You know, my son went to graduate school at FIU, and I know he went out to a couple games out there, and he was like surprised. Not a lot of people showing up.
Right.
And so, but this is one
been able to build up their tradition, right. And you know, get the winning bug enough and some of the games that you get, you know, FIU's never going to have FSU Miami.
But this is the one game they will.
This is the one.
This is it where you'll get a lot of FIU people and you know, the Cane fans will always, you know, you'll get them showing up. It'll be a fun cross town fight, I think.
Yeah, and I told you in the 6 o'clock hour, and you said, Joe, don't start doing that. Getting articles, and then below them, you get the comments. And listen to people go, hey, I went to FIU, but I've always been a UM fan, but I'm looking forward to this. And then I got a text yesterday, kind of ruined it a little bit. DQ and I, we're sitting in DQ, we get a guy that says, hey, man, don't take your wife to this one. This will be a, and I was like, why is we going to get beat up? People going to throw stuff? It's FIU in Miami. It's all Dade County, man. I think it's friendly. It's not Florida State.
I don't think it'll
Florida.
Be like that. Do you get that
no.
sense? No, I think it'll be a good, friendly, and especially when most people, sane people, think Miami is going to win somewhat easily. Maybe not 28 points. That's a little shocking. That's the spread. But they should win. They should win pretty easily, I think.
Yeah. It's just,
Butch will have something to say about that, I'm sure.
Yeah, and he's gonna get after it, but Butch knows they're recruiting different guys. They're not going after the same level of talent.
Right.
If you buy into the whole level of talent and they all see the games, Butch and his staff see all the games, and they know what they can go after. I mean, I guess...
What Butch is fighting is FAU. They're not fighting UMs.
That's the other thing that yesterday was brought up. Is FIU, is this a bigger game for FIU, or is the FAU-FIU game bigger? Which game's bigger at this point? Because FAU is...
From a season standpoint, FAU's bigger. But from a will make your program seen nationally, obviously Miami would.
Right.
So I'm sure Butch will say FAU is our season, really.
We before we get into all this football stuff here that we got coming up, Dwayne Wade, of course, signed his one more year contract and going to finish. And we're going to have Ira join us at 9 o'clock hour. We'll talk to him about does Dwayne Wade get the 1 year tour where everywhere he goes he gets the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I hope they're not bringing out the rocking chair, and I hope they don't do that. You know, I'm sure
putting things on the back of the plane as they head home and stuff.
I'm not a big fan of that stuff.
Anyway, so that was the good news. The bad news is Deion Waiters still not healed from that ankle surgery that he had in January, and that was a guy I think they're kind of counting. Matter of fact, they said not only is he not going to be ready for the start of camp, he's probably not going to be ready for the start of the season. This ankle thing.
This has turned into a really...
I tell you, my ankle took forever too, man.
And they must have found other stuff in there, right?
Right.
That was more than they expected.
He tried to play through it for a couple of months, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And at that point, probably should have just.
But we're talking 4 years deal and 2 years, depending on when he comes back.
Right.
It's not starting off good. This his second year isn't starting off good.
Then you got to get in shape, and if your ankle's hurting, it means you can't run. So he's not in the kind of shape he needs to be in. And basketball shape, NBA basketball shape, as Dwayne Wade said, is a little different deal than a little pickup game 3-on-3. But Tyler Johnson, Wayne Ellington, Rodney Magruder, but.
And you're talking how then they got to figure out how this is all going to work together, because as you just mentioned, they got a lot of similar parts on this team.
I am really curious to see. And Dwayne, I've got this thought, and we'll find out. And Ira agrees with it. So Dwayne's coming back for another year, which is it's good for business at American Airlines Arena.
It's good for a columnist to go down there and have Dwayne Wade to talk to and
That's
fans
exactly
to see.
Right. Yep. And when he comes in or he starts occasionally, whatever they might do, it's just good for business because and I used Dan Marino as an example at the end of his career when he had those special moments like the Colts game where he hits a Rondé Gadds on a couple
him,
right
yep.
down the field.
Jimmy said throw short. No, he's go
yeah,
long.
That's right. He goes, they're going to blitz. And that by the way, is a really great story. But anyway, so Dwayne comes back. I got a feeling, and we were trying to figure out how many games he plays this year. But back-to-back games, I think they're going to be real careful, real sensitive to how he feels. But I think they're going to make it a real priority for home games.
Oh, he'll miss that back-to-back road game.
Road
yeah,
game.
Absolutely.
But the home games are like, hey, we got our fan base to take care of. They need Dwayne Wade.
Because really, what else are you selling down there? What are you
power.
Selling?
No,
not only it's lack of change. Everything is sort of like last year. And so can you have higher expectations than last year?
Yeah.
I don't know. So, but you're right. The one game or two games, Dwayne Wade wins at the end. As he'll have those moments. Those will be the ones that will be talked about this year.
So I got to tell this story real quickly since you were talking about guys turning back the clock into their careers. So a Rondé Gadsden comes to the huddle. It's third down or a fourth down situation, fourth and like six or seven, whatever it was. And they had this these blitz breakout, he's going to blitz, and so Rondé knew, and Marino knows, and so Rondé, he goes, listen, Rondé, they're going to blitz, because they, you know, looking at me back here, he says, don't run that post pattern, quick post pattern, because they're just going to tackle you short of the first down.
Jimmy told him this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said, don't run your blitz break off. And he goes, what? Because Jimmy's going to go nuts. He goes, don't do it. Run the takeoff. We'll worry about Jimmy later. He says, he's going to be sitting on that pattern, and they're going to tackle you short of a first down. The game's over. So Rondé looks at like, well, Rondé's really concerned. Like, are you sure? Jimmy's not going to let, are you sure? It's all going on in the huddle. He goes, run the takeoff. Don't even fake the post. They know our blitz breakoffs on blitzes. So just run. So Rondé just runs straight ahead. The guy goes to bite on, like he was sitting inside, throws it over the top. Rondé catches the ball down the sideline, first down. Then he goes on, of course. But that call was like they knew no matter what, like, you know we're supposed to do this, Danny. And he goes, no, but they know our blitz breakoffs. They know that they can feed us literally into you throw it, catch it, and we're short of a first down. It ain't going to work.
Yeah, and Rondé still is sweating about that because he's thinking, I'm going to get fired.
Yeah,
if I disobey the head coach, I'm going to get fired.
It wasn't going to affect Jimmy. It wasn't going to affect Danny.
It was a Rondé in the middle.
It was the guy in the middle of the fighting family, right? And going, oh, I don't know about it. But anyway, they go on. He throws a touchdown a couple plays later in the end zone, and Marino gets the win. But those moments are special, man, in sports, aside from all the other stuff. The throw, Dwayne coming back and having those 10, 12 points late in the fourth quarter. Those are great moments that people buy tickets for, too.
Yeah, Wade, when he won the one game they did win against Philadelphia in the playoffs, that was a good night. Now, he's not going to change the season, but he can, you know, sometimes it's not always about the big picture. Yeah. It's a small picture.
He can't do it every night.
Yeah.
But those nights where your legs, you show up and you go, wow, tonight's a good night. I feel good. And Dwayne could do it. So that will be a fun one to watch. We've got all kinds of drama around here. Why has South Florida always got the drama? News, sports, it's always us. Antonio Brown grew up down here. No show on Monday with the Steelers after they lost in the shootout. And Antonio Brown had 9 catches for 67 yards. Was upset during the game with his offensive coordinator and then didn't show up Monday. Drew Rosenhaus had to step in and try to – that's part of Drew's job.
That's,
right?
That's what an agent has to do.
Hey, you know, it's personal. He's taking care of some personal stuff and anything. And meanwhile, while he's got the trade me, let's find out, you know, from some guy, former employee for the Steelers, saying, dude, you're lucky you got paid. You should go thank Ben Roethlisberger for that. And he goes, really? You think it's Ben Roethlisberger? Well, trade me and let's find out.
It's Pittsburgh. Just, this has happened in Pittsburgh. This is what you expect in Cleveland. I can't believe this is going on in Pittsburgh. And you're throwing the whole Le'Veon Bell issue.
Who's loving South Florida, by the way. He's great for tourism down here. He's enjoying. Le'Veon Bell's not from South Florida, by the way. But nobody's enjoyed football season more and skipping out on $14.5 million more than Le'Veon Bell. He's on, and we get to see it. I've seen him in strip clubs with his hand on different sides of the butt.
And as you say, Joe, that's not legal, is it? That's not allowed. Maybe if you pay enough, you can do whatever.
I haven't been in a strip club in a long time, but even back when I was going to strip clubs, I don't remember being able to touch the talent.
So Le'Veon's getting to do that down here even.
And then on top of that, he's out on boats and yachts and wave runners and just enjoying himself, popping expensive champagne. And I guess he's got some new rap songs out that he was doing with some guys at some clubs. He's enjoying himself down here. Meanwhile, the Steelers.
Does Mike Tomlin survive this?
Terry Bradshaw rips him all the time.
All the time.
I mean, Terry
Bradshaw
just can't.
At some point, you're going to be right when you rip him because, well, we know because Tomlin interviewed here 2007. The Dolphins hired Cam Cameron, not Tom. Ooh. So he's been in Pittsburgh 11 years.
Boy, that's right. Boy, I forgot about that one, too. Yeah, that didn't work out real well. You just knocked me right down to my knees.
You can do that. A lot of that gets back to your South Florida connection, Joe. Everything comes back through here.
Boy, you're not kidding. So, anyway, Le'Veon Bell having a great time down here. Antonio Brown, I don't know if he disappeared down here for a day or two, but was expected back last night. And of course, Mike Tomlin says I want to talk to him. So that's good. Good luck. You know, it's weird, too, the Antonio Brown thing. He's been thrown to more than any receiver. First 2 weeks, 33 targets. He's had 33 footballs thrown to him in 2 weeks.
I know. Was he upset on the sideline? He wasn't get the ball thrown more?
It wasn't the more. It was where the ball was thrown. He was running short routes, and he was pissed. He wanted to run deep. He's got
the old Jarvis Landry syndrome.
Exactly. It was Jarvis Landry all over again. And so he had 9 catches for 67 yards, which about 7 yards a catch, which is Jarvis
for him.
Like.
For him, that's
for Antonio.
That's right. It's going on everywhere. There's Jarvis right there. It's just letting them know that stuff gets contagious. So, yeah, a lot of crazy, crazy stuff going on. Urban Meyer stuff, by the way, is unbelievable, right? I'm just curious.
Every day.
Fair guy. Give me a little Urban Meyer.
Not only am I a fair guy, I grew up in Columbus. I wrote a book about Ohio State football, the 1968 national champions, out in paperback this week, by the way, or last week.
Great.
But little plug. But I cannot understand Urban Meyer.
Did you get a chance to see both parts of the one-on-one?
I saw one part of it.
What'd you think?
He comes off as just scrambling to do anything other than to just lay himself out. He had one good answer at the very end of the interview in which he said, I shouldn't have done any of this. I shouldn't have hired Zach Smith, the receiver coach, and et cetera, et cetera. But it took him a long time to get to that point.
He's got two things, and we can come back and talk about it. He's got domestic violence he's sensitive to, and people call him a liar, and it really bothers him. So he just continues to use other words that I guess are related to lying, but he said they're different because he does it. And then he third-partied us with Urban Meyer doesn't lie.
He gave a drop to Urban Meyer on himself?
Yeah, Urban Meyer. Yeah, he did a little Urban Meyer on himself. Good morning to everybody that's at work today. Of course, Yom Kippur going on for a lot of our Jewish friends and taking the day off. We got all kinds of stuff. Butch Davis going to join us. FIU head football coach going to join us at 7:40, about 14 minutes from now. We'll talk to him. We got one little problem here, Dave. I was going to ask you in the National Football League, speaking of the NFL, roughing the passer. There was a call. I'm guessing you've seen it by now. They've shown it over. Clay Matthews hit on Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, that's I don't translate get it. That for me, Joe.
I don't get it. He tackled off the side. He didn't drive him to the ground. He tackled him. I feel really bad for people that have to rush the quarterback, whether you're a linebacker, a safety, or a defensive lineman. You can't go high. You can't go low. And he went off the side with his shoulder, so it wasn't the helmet was taken out of play. There's an interception thrown, which, by the way, Green Bay's going to win that game.
The game's over,
big upset.
Yeah, right.
And instead, they call that penalty, and they go down and end up getting a tie game. Nobody ends up winning because of crappy field goal kicking, which is a different story. So I was glad to see two guys that used to work for the NFL that were lead guys, Mike Pereira and Blandino, came out and said, and I was so glad they did this yesterday, said it's not a foul. Just not a foul. Should not be called. Meanwhile, the NFL's going, no. We're going to be sending this video to every team because this is a penalty.
Here's what they need to do. I think they need to, in a sports bar, set up 20 people because this is just common sense, some of these calls, right? You watched that, and I watched that and said, no, that's not roughing the penalty. Set up 20 people to judge real quick, vote. And that should be the standard.
Yeah, right.
Because the common person can see that was not roughing the passer.
Now, I understand, I'm starting to understand, wasn't around like a lot of things when I played, but you throw a 300-pound guy and he not gets the tackle and he throws his weight on the quarterback going down. I get that. That you want to protect
You lost Aaron Rodgers last year by that,
so
right?
So you want to body slam on top of him after you tackle him or lift him and then pile drive him. I get that. I do. I understand that. And you want to keep these guys as healthy as possible. But Clay Matthews, to me, looked like he'd been coached up. He put the shoulder in there and wrapped him and went to the ground without his full weight on him. And I was like, man, if that's not clean, we got a problem. Like, I don't get it. And then the NFL, just Roger Goodell, like, just goes out, oh, no, we're saying this is a penalty. And so when I got that, and then I saw the two former guys that were in charge of officiating, both for now working for Fox, came out and said, no, that's a bad call.
That tells you how confused – what's the common fan supposed to think, though? Okay, you got the NFL referee saying one thing. You have the head of referees, Dean Blandino, was the head of referees last year, saying another thing.
Right.
What are you supposed to –
just said you can't
tells
do
you,
this.
Nobody knows what the call is, really, right?
I'm all for safety. I am. Believe me, and you know the league gets ripped now. It's not the same as it used to be. I thought the last game was pretty physical. There were some real physical plays. Nobody's going to tell me that Jamal Adams didn't pop Amendola.
And Kiko Alonso ran right through. I don't know who it was on the Jets, but he ran right through him and knocked him to the.
Oh yeah, no question. They had got some big hits in there, but man, tell you what, your job is to rush the quarterback. Your area to tackle him is getting real small. Might go to two-hand touch on those guys here pretty soon.
The odd part is part of the explanation from the league is they almost expect the rusher to, as he's hitting the quarterback, to twist his body and land himself on the so both of them are landing on their sides.
Yeah.
Like how you can't do that in the middle of a half second play.
And I give you one other part of it. I don't know if the people realize how big Ben Roethlisberger and Cam Newton these are big, strong dudes that if you don't hit them square, they don't go down. They don't go down. Those guys are really strong dudes. They spin off you, buy a little more time to dump the ball off or throw it down the field or whatever it is. So, yeah, I just thought, my God, man, I'm okay with everything going on. It's been a fun start. And then the Clay Matthews call, and I saw he's bitching, so I couldn't wait to see it. And then I saw it a few times yesterday. And I don't know how the NFL comes out and says it was a right call. Matter of fact, we're going to send it to all the teams so they know. Like
Tom Brady's saying, I am going to play till I'm 45, aren't
man,
I? This will be a cakewalk for me.
We keep this up. I'm in great shape. Two best teams in football right now, Rams and Jacksonville.
There's a Super Bowl, right, absolutely.
You agree?
Yes. And you know what? Jacksonville, I saw some of that game after the fact. They sort of did what I'm sure the Dolphins are going to try to do. Leonard Fournette couldn't play. They're big, heavy, physical, and you'd think they'd be worse off, but they had a quick team out there, and they stretched the field on the Patriots, and that's one thing the Dolphins can do, use their speed against a Patriot defense.
They exposed their defense. Yes. Man, a Patriots defense. That was a little surprising for everybody talking about it, and the frustration from the New England Patriots was a lot of crazy stuff. We got Butch Davis going to join us coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk to the FIU head football coach. Man, what is the game plan this week as you go as a heavy underdog against the University of Miami at Hard Rock Stadium, little Dade County High School football game?
This will be a fun one. I'm looking. I feel like, okay, we're all dinosaurs. Butch, you, me, been around a while. It's good to have Butch back in the mix.
We actually spent a lot of time yesterday talking about Butch and Dorsey. I got no problem with Dorsey being with.
Why would you have a problem? I mean, UM people have a problem?
Well, some people yesterday were talking about Ken Dorsey. I said, well, you should have no problem. Ken Dorsey wanted a job. He's been with Butch. It's a guy that brought him into the U. Like, what are you talking about?
All he did was win games for Miami. And whatever he decides to do in his career, something you congratulate him on.
That's right.
I don't get that, especially when, as far as I know, there weren't any openings at Miami for him to go to.
No, they came out and said there was nothing. There was no jobs at UM. So he came with a guy that he knows real well in Butch Davis, right? Pete Garcia. They've all been together. So I completely understand it. And by the way, we talked about this as well. Butch Davis, when he left, some people were mad about the way he left after the Sugar Bowl game against Florida where they pounded him, and he had the best team in the country, arguably. I don't know if it's arguably or not. They were really good.
The NFL said he had the best team in the country those drafts.
That's right. and then they win the national championship, and so everybody – so I said Butch Davis left the U in really good shape because that team on his players for the next 2 years – after he left, Rose Bowl and Fiesta Bowl, the three bowl teams were Sugar, Rose, and Fiesta. Those were damn good years. Those could have been 3-for-3 on championships.
Larry Coker was Barry Switzer. Remember the Cowboys took over?
You sound like yesterday's show now. We're talking about the Jimmy handoff to Barry Switzer.
Same thing, yeah,
we
absolutely.
We just put it like here. Where's the automatic pilot? There it is. Push. Stay out of the way and let it run, man.
And I remember talking to UM people at the time, the decision makers, and they said, we want to keep this rolling, and we didn't want to bring in a whole new staff. So, and they hoped Coker could grow into the job.
Ken Dorsey was a big part of that. Dorsey went in and said, leave Larry here. Do not put a new system in. We got this thing set. Just let him coach it. He's been around. Let him oversee this thing. We are set on offense and defense.
And you hoped he'd grow into the job, and he maintained it for 2 years or whatever.
Whatever
and
you want
down.
To call it,
it went down.
His recruiting was some of the worst ever by a head football coach at the U.
Radio.com.
Go right to it. We've been teasing you all morning. The head football coach for FIU, Butch Davis, joins us as he gets set for a big game at Hard Rock Stadium against his former team, the University of Miami. Good morning, Butch. How you doing?
Doing good, Joe. You and David doing okay?
We're doing great.
We're getting through the morning together.
Yeah, and you know what, Butch? It's great, man, having you and Dorse as part of this thing to make this. I think it's going to be just an unbelievable environment, and it should be just great. I guess we start with you're a big underdog. Your team comes back. What's the message to the team as you get set for this, and how do you go after it?
Yeah, well, Joe, obviously, I mean, it's a big game for our program. Obviously, it's a great benchmark and try to find out, you know, how much progress that we're making and building and growing the program. You know, as we've talked to our kids all season long, I mean, it's, you know, you want to get better every single week, and hopefully, you know, through the first 3 weeks of this season, each, you know, certain phases of our game and our players, they've gained a little bit more experience and they've got a chance to play in the first game that we played this year. Guys, we played 29 kids that had never played in a college football game in their entire life. So we're young and inexperienced, but they're excited, you know, and we're just trying to get better every week.
Butch, from fans' perspective here, I think people want to know, does this game mean anything more to you? You won national championship at Miami. You put the program back on track. Or are you, you know, look, it's been a while.
Well, I mean, obviously, Dave, you know, a lot of people draw that assumption. I mean, my wife and I, and so, I mean, we spent a significant amount of time in South Florida. You coached at the University of Miami for 11 years and was fortunate enough to be a part of, you know, maybe two of the best eras, you know, in college football. From around being an assistant for Jimmy was super, and it really taught me an awful lot, and being around elite athletes on his teams and then coming back as the head coach and building the program and stuff. So, you know, there's so many friends in South Florida and people that we, you know for a long period of time. So obviously from that standpoint, but, you know, from the flip side standpoint, it's not the first time that I've played against Miami. And, you know, so for me, it's just, you know, it's more about our team and our football program and trying to get our kids to play the very best that we can.
But it is unique, though. When you look at your roster, you look at the Canes roster, and you realize a lot of these guys have played together or against each other in high school. And they get the Dade and the Broward and even the Palm Beach thing about the whole – there's going to be a lot of pride. It ain't going to be FIU and as one program here. These guys are all going to think your team will not be concerned or scared about this game at all.
Yeah, you know, Joe, I mean, I think that's one of the things that's indicative, and even more so now because of, you know, FIU having a program and UCF and South Florida and Central Florida. I mean, when I came to Miami in 84 with Jimmy, I mean, there was really only three football teams in the state, basically. But, you know, one of the things that you learn, regardless of where you coach at any of those schools, most of these kids, like you said, have played against each other. They've been on each other's teams. They know each other, and they love competing against those players. So, you know, I mean, from that standpoint, I think that doesn't change regardless.
What's your 28-point underdog? I know that doesn't mean probably much to you. What's the recipe for an upset Saturday?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, almost every game, you know, you have to make sure that you do a great job protecting the football, the turnovers. I mean, that's a huge, gigantic, you know, portion of just about every game that anybody in college football plays. If you lose the turnover battle, it's a pretty significant, you know, chance that you're not going to win the game. So taking care of the football and you know, being effective and being efficient and making sure that, you know, you do a good job. I mean, Miami's very talented and very loaded. They got a lot of great skilled athletes, both offensively and defensively. Their defensive line is, you know, they're clearly the best football team that we've played in the, you know, 1 year and three games that I've been at FIU. And so you just absolutely have to make sure that you're efficient, you're effective. You know, you don't want to give up any kind of cheap things, whether it's special teams or turnovers and those kinds of things. And, you know, just play, you know, to the very best of our ability.
Butch, how's James Morgan, your transfer quarterback? How's he been through the first few games?
Yeah, you know what, Joe? He's made strides every single game. And I think one of the things, and, you know, there was great competition, and Christian Alexander really competed. It was very, very close, and we almost split time with him in the Indiana game. But when that game was over with, you could kind of see that there was a few things that James could bring to the table that Christian didn't have at that particular time. And one of those was the fact that he had played – and been a starter at Bowling Green. Right. So he had played against teams like Michigan State. He'd played some Big Ten teams and stuff. So he brought a little bit of air of having been a previous starter. And I think he's three games into it. If there's one area where he's probably gotten better over these first 3 weeks, is just maintaining poise. He was super excited and almost too hyped up in the first game about anxious to be in and trying to make a lot of good plays to, you know, help the team win and stuff. And I think that every week he's gotten a little bit calmer. He's gotten a little bit more familiar, you know, with the offense. And I think that that's helped him.
Butch, what have you learned about the team so far? A blowout win last week. You played Indiana, 10-point game. What do you know now that you didn't know a few weeks ago?
Well, one thing is for us, last year that was a complete disaster, Dave, is that we were very, very thin. And as guys got hurt, I mean, rarely did we ever have much depth last year. So one of the objectives, obviously, going into spring practice and through training camp was, is we just said, you know what, come hell or high water, we have got to play more players earlier in the season to kind of, one, get guys, you know, their preparation and create depth and the number of plays that people have to play. I mean, there were games last year defensively that we just had kids that their tongues were hanging out. I mean, they were just exhausted. And so in all three of the games thus far, we've played 9 offensive linemen. Last week, we actually played 12 defensive linemen, which, you know, some of them were at the very end of the game. But we've been rotating probably 8 or 9 kids in on a regular basis in the defensive line and trying to rotate, the running backs and getting 3 or 4 kids into the games and stuff. So I think that that has helped our football team because every kid now pretty much knows that if you're on the travel roster, there's a really good possibility that you're going to get a chance to play in the game. And so hopefully, not only for just this ball game, but throughout the rest of the season, we're trying to build a football program where there's a lot of depth and enough people that if, unfortunately, you get, some kind of maybe just even a minor injury where somebody has to miss 2 or 3 weeks, it's not like a hole is there and you got absolutely nobody to put in there.
Hey, Butch, I wanted to ask you, how is Anthony Jones and Mershawn Miller doing after the shooting? And how are they doing right now?
Joe, they're doing good. They're doing good. Mershawn, actually, the morning after he came over to the facility and went through our walkthrough just to say hello to his friends and stuff, and Anthony was at practice yesterday, and both back in school, going to classes, and starting their rehab and their treatment and stuff. So it truly, guys, it was a God's blessing to protect both of those kids, that they're both still alive. And as I told the team after that next morning, I said, this is, you can look at this 2 different ways. And I said, the way I think that we should look at it is it's a time of celebration because they both survived and they're both alive.
Hey, Butch, I want to ask you real quickly. You and we talked about this a ton yesterday, the recruiting and that group that you put together, even though you weren't here for the Rose Bowl and Fiesta Bowl, they were your guys. Talk about what was the key. We talked about you never seem to get up caught up in the stars like a lot of people do, whether guys are 3-star, 4-star, 5-star, and you built this thing back up from scratch, and I still remember Bobby Bowden telling you after one game where you guys were blown out. It's a great story, by the way, Butch, where he said, God, are you guys ever going to be good again? And it really pissed you off. I mean, what you didn't want to hear. Yeah. But just talk about the recruiting thing. Because people say Butch Davis, they go, man, that dude can recruit. And that was some of the best stuff you've ever done there. What's the key?
Yeah, well, Joe, obviously, I mean, there's certain elements that you look for in guys that you think have got a chance to become elite type of players. And you're right. I mean, I think some of it, the roots, obviously, I've got to give Jimmy Johnson certain amount of the credit that coaching at Oklahoma State, you're not going in the door and you're not going to talk people into saying, like, don't go to Oklahoma or Texas or Texas A&M and Nebraska when you're there. So we had to find guys like Leslie O'Neal and some guys that maybe were flying a little bit under the radar that eventually became elite-type players. And some of the common denominators were just guys that loved to play. They loved to compete. They were multi-sport athletes. And so when you fast-forward the clock to recruiting for Jimmy in Miami, and then when I became the head coach, you looked at guys like, Ed Reed, that was a football player, a basketball player. He threw the javelin and track and a lot of guys. I mean, they were just multi-sported athletes, and it was easy to kind of evaluate their athletic ability. And sometimes, you can look at guys, and sometimes people just look at highlight tapes, and they take a kid, and we really tried to look at everything that this kid did and see if, you know, what kind of upside that he actually had. And we were fortunate. We hit on an awful lot of really good kids and really good players. And,
you think?
Well, yeah, well, but they loved to play and they loved to work. I mean, there's some guys, that some of the five-star guys, I mean, they said something, I don't know, a month or so ago, they were talking about five-star players from 5 years ago, and like 60-65% of them didn't even finish college. So, you know, I mean, if you get hung up on that, and it's at the old days, Dave, you and Joe remember when there was the blue chip magazines and there was the Max Infinger or whatever magazines, and everybody kind of looked at those lists in the top, you know, Parade magazine top 100, and you know, you wonder who put those lists together, because you'd look at film on some of those guys and you'd go, he can't play at all. Why, you know, why is he even on this list? And you know, so it's more about just finding people that fit into your culture and your environment and you know, how much they really truly care about wanting to be good.
Do you find the recruiting competition down here different than in your UM times? Obviously, you're at a different school and all that, but as far as other schools recruiting down here?
Dave, not really. I mean, because there's never been a time that, you know, in Florida, probably for the last three or four decades, that Big Ten schools, Penn State and the Notre Dames and the Michigan States, you know, all the schools, Clemson used to come down into, you know, the Jacksonville and the Space Coast area. And I mean, so there's always been a lot of schools coming down to try to recruit. And, you know, again, you know, last year, I think there was over 500 kids that signed a Division I scholarship, and all we're looking for is 25, you know, we want our 25, the ones that we like, and what everybody else does, that's kind of up to them.
All right, before we let you go, you got a couple trick plays you want to share with us that you might come out, sure. Double reverse pass to the tight end, back to the quarterback. Come on.
Absolutely, that's one of the trick plays that we were going to do is we're going to try to figure out if maybe you don't have GPS and how to get you to come to practice. I advise you about 5 times. I know it's like 8,000 miles away, you know. But
I'm getting called out. Oh, you're killing me, bud.
I mean, I'm going to have to send an Uber to get you.
All right, Butch, you got me on that one. Well, the good news is Saturday I get to see everybody at the same time, so thank you. Butch, I appreciate you coming on, man. Thank you very much.
Guys. Have a good day.
All right, Butch Davis, FIU head football coach. Been trying to get me to come down and hang out for practice.
It's fun to hear Butch, and then it's fun he's back in town, I think. Listen, we have such a weird mix. Lane Kiffin's fun at FAU, right?
Having Butch and Lane back with the U in between has been great. It's been great.
Great, and such different storylines, you know.
Listen, that story at UCF's a hell of a story, too. Matter of fact, I was telling my guys either, you know, it's too late this week, next week, I'll get UCF on. They're playing FAU this week. But UCF's a hell of a story. Let me ask you a question. We got to go to break here. We're running super late.
Butch said 500 guys out of South Florida signed. Was he talking South Florida?
There's a few hundred. I get Larry Bluestein. He can text me in a second here. He'll give you exact number. But yeah, there's a ton of guys in the three counties, going from the tip of the Keys to up into Palm Beach County, a little further north. We got to go to break here, man. We got a lot of stuff. Thanks, Butch Davis, for coming on here this morning.
Radio.com. Radio. 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 Radio.